Okay, so we are in the middle of these two psukim. We pretty much finished everything, I think. So let's in fact go to the next psukim. The next psukim are pasuk vav. Pasuk vav on page 424. Pasuk vav. Afafuni my manovesh. Make sure did we get everything? Did we get everything? I believe we can go further. We pretty much covered most of what we wanted to discuss. There's one thing I really left out and wanted to mention, and that is we began to discuss this word of nigrashti. And I told you the first time the word gerushin appears is in Chumash Devarim Parashas Kiseitse. That's not accurate. There is a gerushin. Who's the first woman to be divorced? Gerushin. No, explicitly, there, Hagar, exactly. Okay, Goresh es ben ho'amo hazos, ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. The first time we find in the Torah an open concept of being driven out of the word Gerushin is Hagar. Avraham and Hagar. Avraham was the first man to get divorced. Think about that.
Okay. But it doesn't say
yet. Doesn't say it, but it was before Matan Torah. Take the broom when you get
goodbye.
By goyim. Even the Rambam says by goyim. How is there a chalos gerushin by goyim? Goyim are chayim in arayos. One of the sheva mitzvahs bnei noach is arayos. If a goy lives with a woman that's an hs ish, he's chayiv misa. So what constitutes marriage? If a man and women, they have a civil marriage. And in halacha, what is called divorce by goyim? So the Rambam says they just come to an agreement. Nothing more. We don't need a document. There's no.
Arayas Eishes Ish, or Arayas mother or whatever. Because the guy is Abraham Geneva when he takes someone else's.
Oh. So you want to say that a guy living with another woman is an extension of Geneva.
And he's Chayav
on Geneva. I feel the Pachas Nishaput Chayav Misa. Okay, so fine, whatever it is, however you want to go define the technical reason why it's Chayiv Misa, but how does marriage dissolve? If a man and a woman are married, they're considered to be married, and now another man lives with that woman, he's Chayiv Misa, at what point in time can we say
there's
that
no
he's...
There's no issues right there, he can't even make a dushna, but what can he even make a dushna?
So the Rabbam says there is. Since there is such a principle that of HS ish by a non-Jew, there obviously is something called Kiddushin. What is the Kiddushin? We know by Klal Yisrael it's Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. There are three ways to make the connection. That's Eris, and then there's Nisun. What is it by Goyim? The Rambam says just basically a consensus, an agreement.
Common law,
we agree to live together as husband and wife. That's it. However you want to do it. As long, whatever the Goyim do and by their laws, in their culture, we're now considered to be married. I hereby pronounce you husband and wife. Bezehu. How do they get divorced? They come to an agreement that they're no longer married. That's it. They dissolve with words. They say, you know, it's not working out. Let's split. That's it. Now, if another man lives with that woman, he's no longer chayiv misa. Because there's no such thing as a get krisus with all of the laws and the details with witnesses. Ede mesira. Ede mesira. Ede chasima. These principles don't apply. It's just basically an agreement. Now, before Matan Torah, it's the same thing. Even between Avraham and Hagar. Avraham was married to Hagar. I mean, isn't that the assumption that Sarah did not have children? So she said to Avraham, take Hagar, my maidservant. And it says in the pasuk that he gave Hagar to Avraham as a wife. Does it not say the word Isha? I believe it's the word Isha. And then Sarah says to Avram, I demand, it's either me or her, I demand that ki goresh es ben, well, the truth is it says ki goresh es ben. Think about it. Now I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily say...
Goresh es
ben. It does say explicitly goresh. So the demand was not just to get rid of Yishmael. The demand was to get rid of her. Isn't that it? Because what was the problem? Sarah goes out and she sees Yitzchak, that's Yishmael, is mitzachek is mitzachek as Yitzhak Beno. And Chazal tells us, what was he doing? He almost killed him. He was shooting arrows. And he came that close to killing Yitzhak. So Sarah realized we got a problem. So what would you expect Sarah to say? Get rid of the kid. Send the kid to some juvenile institution to get rid of him. But
obviously
the problem wasn't just Yishmael. The problem was the chinuch, the mother. Avraham, Sarah did not just demand of Avraham to send away Yishmael. Sarah demanded of Avraham to send away Hagar, to get rid of Hagar as well. So obviously they're a team. And the word that she used was Goresh es ha'amo hazos v'espina. Gerushin. Complete separation, complete severance. It's a very powerful word. It's not telling you just get separated. And maybe a couple of years from now you'll get back together. You'll come when it's politically correct. You will appear in the pictures together. Yeah?
It's also the same term used to evict the Amim from Eretz Yisrael. To drive them out. It's the term Gerushin also.
Word. Okay, but that's much, much later.
Ain't
no chanami.
But you could see from... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that it's a similar concept.
The Lashon and the Chumash, though, stresses, it seems to stress, when God says to Avraham that he should listen to her, he says, Al Yei Rabi Enecha El Anar V'El Amosecha.
First, he changes the order.
Avraham probably wouldn't mind kicking out Hagar, but he would want to keep his son.
Aha. The change in the order, when it comes to getting rid of it was Omar. And Hashem, when Hashem says, it's a whole drasha right there. Hashem changes the order.
Right.
It's a whole drasha. Rabbi,
I just thought of it right now. You were just saying it. It's the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very fascinating that Hashem is changing the order to read.
He knows what's in Abraham's mind.
But
he wouldn't mind getting rid of Hagar, but the son is what he wants most.
Mm-hmm.
What got me from this is what I thought of, and I didn't look up because it just occurred to me while I was sitting and learning yesterday. The piyut on Yom Kippur when it says ki hine kachomer in that one.
Yeah.
One of the stanzas is obviously to me talking about Yonah. We read Mafti Yonah in Yom Kippur when it says ki hine kehegev biyad hamala. He keeps the ship where it is. Uberzoso shilach.
So you're saying it's just more than poetry.
A reference to Yonah.
Yonah, very, very fascinating. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. Each one. Then that means each one of those sections, those stanzas, really also refers to a biblical story. Very interesting.
When we read Mafti Yonah and Yom Kippur, that was what he was thinking when he wrote that.
Very interesting.
I have to see who wrote it. I didn't look it up. It just hit me while I was reading.
All right, and that's the only thing we wanted to point out. This tefillah, as we mentioned last week, is very, very, very powerful. It's very eloquent, a very important tefillah. He uses here a very powerful term, Vani Amarti Nigrashti Minegre Necha. Yonah here is using a term that really is extreme. When we Rachman Lutzlan, feel that there's Hester Panim, we usually don't go to the extreme of saying that Hashem has given us a get krisus. We don't look at it like that. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, he's hiding. He has hidden himself. The Anoichi Haster Astir Panai Bayomahu. To say that Hashem has given us a get krisus is not something that we usually use in our expressions of frustration. And here, Yonah, every word here is very precise. The precision is 100%, and he uses here very strong terms, Ani Amarti Nigrashti Minegrei Necha, and what exactly does that mean? And the only real reference we have when it comes to divorce before the time of Matan Torah is Avraham and Hagar. And indeed, we learn from there what it means, complete, thorough separation. Now, what's interesting, though, is he did take her back.
Yeah, he took her.
He did take her back at the end. So how does all that come into play? I don't know. Yeah.
Also, the whole story about the Churban Beis Hamikdash in Masechta the Kitten.
Right, that hashgacha, the Divrei Agada is always corresponding to Divrei Halacha, and we discussed last week. We discussed, and there are two pesukim which contradict one another. One pasuk says that Hashem indeed has given Klali Yisrael a get, and there's another pasuk that says Eizeh Sefer Yeshaya, Eizeh Sefer Krisus. Where is your divorce document? I never divorced you. So did Hashem through the Churban? Did He indeed? Kaviyachal give us a divorce or not? So there's a contradiction. We had a different discussion. One answer was that the Aseres HaShvatim, yes, and to Yehuda and Binyamin, no. Even to the Aseres HaShvatim, just because maybe there's a get does not mean that Hashem can't take us back. Just the opposite. There's a mitzvah, d'oraisa, of Machzer Gerusha Sayyid, provided that the Gerusha does not live with another man.
Right.
So the Nisayon, if Chas Hashem, you were to say that in Echnam it was called a get, then the Nisayon of Klal Yisrael in times of Golus until Hashem takes us back is not to embrace another religion, another culture where it would be considered to be living with another man, and then it would be forbidden for the first husband to take back his Gerusha. But if you say Eizeh Sefer Krisus, there is no Sefer Krisus. That's for Yehuda Binyamin. So then we're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, let's now go to the next pasuk Vav. Afunimai Manotesh. This pasuk is a pasuk that we quote not that so often. I have been surrounded. Lashon of Seviva Afafuni. The word Afafuni in the Mitzudos Tzia, and he learns is a word which means Hakafa. This Sibuv. How does the word afafuni, I don't know how the etymology, where it comes from. It's not related to the word seviva. It's
I have
not.
A chapter of Afafuni. What?
What do you mean, yeah?
The word afafuni,
what do you write?
I can't recite from memory, I can't.
Okay, so the word afafuni here means seviva, hakafa. You don't see that in the root. We have to see how it refers to. Lashon of Pina. I think what it really comes from, Lashon of Pina, means the corners. Okay, corners. You know that Hilchos Shabbos. It's an amazing theme. On Shabbos, you have to have in order to carry on Shabbos, you have to be within a Rishus Hayochid. What constitutes a Rishus Hayochid? Four walls. Or some hold that midrash, so three walls is enough. You must be enclosed. Now, there's a halacha called Pasei Birois. There's a special halacha that the people who went to the Oile L'Regel, and they traveled and they had animals, and their animals needed to drink water. To draw water from a well and to bring the water to the animal would be a violation of Haitzah. You would be taking water from a well which is called in halacha Rishus HaYochid, and to take the water out of the well and bring it to the surface, to the side, would be at least a karmelis. And a karmelis midrabanan has the status of Rishus HaYochid, midrabanan. So you would be going from a Rishus, the karmelis is both a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim, so it would be midrabanan going from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. How then can you give water to your animals on Shabbos? So what do they tell you to do? They made a special takana to set up what's called Pasei Birois. Within a certain area, you put up corners. Four corners. Each corner must be an amma in each direction, in a certain limited area, and that allows you to remove water from the Rishus HaYochid and bring it to a quasi Rishus HaRabim. Question. Study Shulchan Aruch. There is no such thing as creating a Rishus HaYochid by putting up corners. To make a Rishus HaYochid, you have to have four real walls. If you don't want to have four real walls, so Chazal, they gave you this technique called Suras HaPesach, which is a pillar here, a pillar here, and something on top. And even that, it's not so simple. You have to l'chatchila have Oymed, Meruba, Miparutz, in the entire area an entire area on all four sides, the majority should be a real wall, and the part that's not real, you can get away with a tzura sa-pesach. I know you'll tell me that in the country they don't do that. In the country they take a bone colony and they make a tzura sa-pesach all the way around entirely. You can do that b'di'evit also. That's also kasha b'di'evit. L'chadchila, people pride themselves if they're able to make an eruv where the enclosure is oimed miruba miparutz. And flatbush, they try very hard. In flatbush, they try to make flatbush, they try to make calculations that it should be muhudar, where they make on different the endpoints of where they're enclosing flatbush, where the houses should be they calculate the space of the house and the driveways and the streets to try to make a calculation. Maybe indeed it is oimed, the part that is standing, the real wall is meruba miparutz. Different techniques. But in any event, the evidence is good as well. But to make four corners is unheard of. This is not illegal. So the answer is, since this is only a chumah midrash, the takana, Carmel is not a deraisa. Carmel is only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan. Chazal u'mesakin, it's okay. Water. What's the lumdis? The lumdis says corners. Corners define everything. Okay. Yeah.
Based on the pasuk,
enrich me. It says the ancient English translation is enrich me.
Yeah, so...
Enrich, that's what it says.
All right, so let me read you a short paragraph. What does Afafuni mean? In the plain sense, it means encircled or surrounded. The Midrash suggests several definitions. I am up to my af, my nose,
af.
In troubles,
okay.
Right, as if drowning in them. Two, my troubles come flying at me, o fos, in rapid succession.
Okay, flying, okay.
Three, my troubles are coming at me like a fast-rolling wheel, o fan.
O fan, wheel, okay.
And four, I am engulfed in darkness from the Aramaic panya, which is evening.
Okay.
Five, everywhere I turn, kodem, for help, there is no one to save me but
to
you.
To turn, okay. Fascinating. Five different translations of the word pina. Okay, so but the first one you said to be surrounded, you didn't give us the shoresh. You gave us the shoresh for four of the five. So the standard translation is over the word number two. Fully means I am surrounded. Yet for that in your book, you did not give us the etymology of the word. The other four translations I never heard before, which is amazing, totally amazing stuff. You've given us the etymology. Afafuni, I am up to my nose. Af. Afafuni, lashon of Aleph Pei. That's the Shemesh. The other translation was a bird, an oif. And we're going to interchange the Aleph with an ayin. Okay, now we can do that. That never stopped us. We can interchange the Aleph with the ayin, so therefore it's oif. I am... over my head with trouble. That other translation, number five, was to turn, pina, lashon. Then that means that the shorish is not the aleph. The aleph is just a vowel or a prefix. I don't even know it's a vowel. And the shorish is the nun, okay, the pei nun. And that means lashon pina, to turn. Everywhere that I turn,
water everywhere.
There is trouble. Okay, and then you said the Aramaic.
Also
ofan is a wheel. Ofan that means all three letters become the shoresh. Aleph pei nun, a wheel. Wherever I turn, wherever I go, wherever direction I go, I'm in trouble. And the other one was an Aramaic word of what was the word in Aramaic?
Panya,
darkness. Evening. Panya pei nun. So the shoresh is either aleph pei, or it's pei nun, or it's aleph pei nun, or we can interchange the aleph with an ayin. Okay, but the most common translation that I don't know, for some reason lingers, at least in my mind, not a right to anything, is I am surrounded. I am surrounded. And what is the etymology of the word being surrounded? So I just think on top of my head, because it comes from the word pina, means a corner. It means like to turn. But pina also means a corner. Evan pina, a cornerstone.
The wheel explanation.
That's okay, that's a different shot. That's an ofan. Ofan is a word in and of itself which means a wheel, which you want to say the word wheel itself is a borrowed term. Ofan, l'chara, the aleph of the word ofan is part of the shoresh. Pina is a corner. An even pina. Pei nun. Even pina. A cornerstone. There are four corners. In the world of halacha, a corner is very significant. The way you can prove something is significant is by Evan Rosu Aboyim Haisel Rosh Pina. The way you can prove something is significant is if you can find a halachic consequence. When you speak Drush, it's all very nice. Drush. Inspirational speakers, you can say whatever you want. Ein Moishivin al Hadrush. But when you can take a homiletic insight in the pasuk, and you can show me that there is a halachic consequence, ramification, that is heavy.
So you want to say, I am cornered.
Surrounded. I am surrounded. Right. I'm cornered, but corner is, okay, it's a similar idea, I'm cornered, because the proof is, what is the halachic significance of a corner? Because when it comes to the sugya of corners, there is something which is baffling in the world of halacha, does not fit into any pattern, any halacha. It's called pasei birois. When Bnei Yisrael were oile loregel for the sholosh regalim, and they brought with them their animals, and they made the Shabbos, they set up tents, so they were able to live inside of a reshus hayachid. But for their animals needed water. Their animals needed what to drink. And there were wells along the road every so often. Here and there were wells. And Chazal instructed the Oilei Regalim to make around the well four corners, eight boards. You take eight boards, each board must be an amma. An amma is between 18 and 24 inches, and you put up four of those boards, 10 tefachim high, around a well, and now the animal can take, you can take from the well into that area. What are you talking about? Open up Shulchan Aruch, open up the Rambam. There is no such thing as creating a Rishus Hayachid by defining corners. A Rishus Hayachid needs four walls. If you don't have four walls, there's a technique called Tsuras HaPesach, which itself is subject to much discussion if Tsuras HaPesach works around all four sides, or Tsuras HaPesach only works in a situation where you at least have Oymed Meruba Al HaParetz.
I think when they built the flap of Sherib, so Rabbi Chaim Jackson, who wrote, you know, he hadn't had smicha yet in those days, he wanted to make an Arab in our area. And he asked only to do with Rav Herschel Shechter's Haskama. So Rav Herschel Shechter made him do it, you know, did it according to what he said. And then he was showing me when he took me around where the Flatbush Arab differs from what he did. He made a lot of different chumras. I mean, if you would allow the Arab in the first place. So, but he said, no, this is, you're going to have to do this, this, and this. And then he said, you know,
If I'm not mistaken,
more machmir on certain things.
Well, my brother lives in Lakewood, so they have lived in the development, so they have an heir of the development, and I think it wasn't oymed meruba, and they only needed like a small little section in the calculation to make it. So they built. They actually went and they paid money, have a car contract to build a wall, and it's just a certain area in order just to get it over 50%. Anyway, it was naturally, it was 48%. So in order to be mahader and fulfill all of the opinions, there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. If you need for it to be oymed meruba, in order just to get it over the top, just to get in that small amount, it wasn't just a big deal to build a small little wall. So now, in front, instead of being 48%, it's now 51%. So now, when you put up the Tzuras HaPesach, it's mehudar. You take away more questions. Yeah.
But what you're describing, it took place in the time of the Beis Hamikdash when they were going.
Correct.
How the Shulchan Aruch could ignore that and enhance it?
What do you mean? First of all, Shulchan wasn't written there.
It was not there.
But all of the halachas, the laws of Shulchan were only put in writing at a much later point in time.
Yeah, so it
was tradition. The laws didn't change. The laws didn't change. Chazal, all the laws of Erev, Omid Merubah, and Tursa Pesach are in the Gemara. They're all in the Gemara. Now, there's another halacha which defies everything that you know about Hilchas Erevin called Pasei Birois, where you have an enclosure and you put up four corners and you can carry inside the four corners.
Yes, okay.
This was only established, this leniency, for animals. Only for animals when you oile l'oreya. Because it's only during the Rabbanan. Midaraisa, Carmelis is permitted. Midaraisa, you're allowed to carry in a Carmelis. You're allowed to go from your house into a Carmelis. Until we came to America, there was almost no such thing as a Rishus HaRabim Doiraisa. And that is why it was never discussed in Poland and in Europe and in Russia and in Germany and France and Spain, Hungary. There was no such thing. You never had a situation where you had in an area of Yud Bey's Mill, 2.5 million people. It didn't exist. 600,000 people. It just didn't exist such a thing.
But Warsaw didn't have a big population.
It seems not.
Oh, it seemed
Yud Bey's Mill.
They talk about Paris.
Yeah.
2.9 million people.
Within Yud Bey's Mill?
Chazon Ish is the person they quote for the head for the Arab. Yeah. The quote is the Chazon Ish.
Okay, so I don't know that. Maybe there was such a prayer, but generally in Poland, it seems for sure not. The cities in Poland were all little shtetlach. They didn't have big metropolises. They didn't have such big things. Any of the ones that were big, it wasn't that big. It wasn't. You have to have Yud Bey's Mill. Yud Bey's Mill is what is Yud Bey's Mill? It's not such a big area. Yud Bey's Mill. How much?
About
12 square miles. I don't know the.
A mill is
5/8. Right, 3/4 of a mile. A mill is
5/8.
Right, so it's like 8 miles, something like that. It's like 8 miles by 8 miles. New York City, less than 8 miles. Okay, so that's that within that area, 600,000 men over the age of 20. Now, what are the statistics? If you have 600,000 men over the age of 20, how many? So the for each man is a woman, right? So we're going from 600,000 to 1.2 million. That's what we assume. Now, that's over the age of 20. What about below the age of 20? How many more? What's the average population growth? I don't know. So Rav Moshe makes a calculation. I think what he says is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million. Something along those lines. Brooklyn happens to be an open area of exactly of what constitutes Yud Bey's Mill. And the statistics are, according to the census, somewhere right in between 2.5 and 3 million. And then they argued that, at least in his day, they argued that the numbers that the city is giving are not accurate because there are a lot of illegals who are living here, which brings it way above 3 million. Listen, I don't know. That's not really. Rav Moshe is 2.5 al-Khair is already enough to be proud. Rav Moshe is a tremendous chiddush, an incredible chiddush, no one ever heard it before, is that if you have this population living in this area, it's automatically called a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, even on a dead-end street, and there's no way you can make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. There's nothing to discuss. What? No, there wasn't an Erev. Al Yetzayish Mimakoimai, there was no Erev. It's exactly the source. The source was there was no Erev in the Midbar.
They would have made one.
They couldn't. That's exactly the Raya. Al Yetzayish Mimakoimai Bayoim Hashmi. Moshe told them, you don't go out into the street. Because we here in Machane Levi'ah, we here in the desert, we have created our own Rishus. We have over here this area. It's Rav Moshe's Chiddush. Don't get me wrong. There's no one that agrees with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was mechadesh, an incredible chiddush lahalacha. It's built on the yesoid that in an area of Yud Bey's Mill, approximately 7 miles by 7 miles, if you have in that area approximately 2.5 million people, this area is called the Rishus HaRabim De'Oraisa, even on the dead-end street go to the extreme corner to go take out of your home, go to a dead end street over here in Flatbush where no one is coming. The garbage trucks don't even want to come pick up the garbage over there because it's the extreme. When it snows, they don't come to plow there. I know people live on the 19th street between I and the dead end, and whenever it snows, they don't want to come. The garbage truck does not want to come down the block for one simple reason. It can't make a U-turn. It can't get out. If it goes in and there's a car parked in the wrong place, then the garbage truck just can't get out. It'll take the garbage truck 20 minutes to back up this way and that way to get out. It's not worth it. They have a lot of work to do. They have a whole city to plow. So this street, you want to go park your car in the place where it doesn't belong. So you know what? We're not going to plow your street. And they don't sometimes. And they go crazy. The people down the road I live, they go there, Mr. Merle's not here. They mamash go mashuga. And they all get on the phone. They call the city 311. And until they come to plow the street. So it's a place where no one wants to go. And yet, according to Rav Moshe, would you believe it? If you take out of your house on East 19th Street, on the very, very corner, and you go out into the street, it's a carry, Rechal Shabbos Doraisa. That's what Moshe holds. Now, a lot of people do not accept that. They don't go that far. They accept Rav Moshe that you can't go carry on Avenue J. You can't go carry on Ocean Parkway, but to go so far, like Rav Moshe, to say that at East 19th Street between I and the dead end is a Rishus Saram Deraisa, that far, they find it to be too much to accept. So they make, that's why if you go down the whole, every single block has their own Erev. Okay, that's a discussion in and of itself. But Moshe, now, we're getting sidetracked. But the point over here is, there are very set, rigid rules how to make an Erev. And when it comes to this concept called Pasei B'Rois, you violate every single principle. Chazal made a special takana because when they were oilil regel to Yerushalayim, they were not going to through Brooklyn. They were oilil regel through areas that were definitely not a Rishus Harabim de'oiraisa. There were definitely these areas where they were traveling. They did not have 600,000 people living in an area of Yud Beis Mil. So it's at best, it's Midaraisa's Mutter. Midaraisa, you're going from a Rishus HaYochid to what's called a Carmelis, which is Mutter, according to the Torah. Midarabonon, Chazal said, you're not allowed to do this because it looks like a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. You have to make an Eruv. You have to make a whole way, and they can make all the whatever to do. You have to make an Erev. So, but here you're not even making an Erev. We're making here a special dispensation. L'chvoid being oile l'regel, something called Pasei B'Rois. And Pasei B'Rois works with the principle, define the area, define the corners. So you see how powerful it is to define an area just by marking the corners. And here, afafuni maim anofesh, it's not a coincidence that the word afafuni is translated in many contexts to mean I am surrounded, and the word surround doesn't seem to have any sherish here in this word, unless you say it means lashon of pina, peinun. Pina in the Torah means a corner. Even Moasu Haboinim Hoyesa Lirosh Pina, the stone that was detested ended up being the cornerstone. So you see, it means a corner. When you have four corners, now the word makes a lot of sense. In addition to Michal's other four interpretations of different Shoirashim for the word Afafuni Lashon Af, anger, Ofan, a wheel, a bird, change the aleph into an ayin, or Panya, which means the evening in Aramaic, all these other very fascinating words which give us some an understanding of this very unusual word, but you can't ignore the fact that it also comes from the word of Pina, a corner, and that answer to me is the most satisfying because it has a halachic consequence. And when you have halachic consequence, Godol limud shemevi lidei maisa, then no one can fight with you. Then you're in business. You can say Jewish all you want, and they'll brush you away. But if you say, look, can you feed your animals? Yes or no? Shabbos. So then that already speaks volumes. Okay, let's go further. The tohoim By the way, also, just very curious, is when Chazal made the takana of a pase birois, it was for mayim. Okay, it was in order the animals can drink water, mayim. So afafuni mayim, this idea of a corner, is used in reference with the word mayim. Here it's a little bit, the context a bit different, that he's drowning, but the word is still here. Ad nefesh, is a very ad nefesh. Here it says mayim ad nefesh. For some reason, I'm always accustomed to the expression nefesh, with a komatz, but here it says nefesh. Tehoim yisoy veveini, the depths surround me. Suf chovush l'roshi. Did we do this pasuk last week? We did pasuk. I don't remember. Did we actually discuss this pasuk? Yeah, we did this pasuk. So we already did this pasuk. So what am I saying? Let's go further. Pasuk zayin. Lekitzvei hodim yorarti. Okay, we're going now. Wait, suf. Do we do with this pasuk? Yeah, let's go further. We did this already. Pasuk Zion. Likitzvei hodim yoradati. Now we're going into the mountains. To the ends of the mountains, yoradati ha'aretz biricheha ba'adi. The earth wore bars. The way you lock a door is by using a bar. Ba'adi le'olam, forever. Okay, so in other words, I did not have any chance. The situation that I was subject to, I was taken to the ends of the mountains. I descended. He seems here to be calling the ocean floor mountains. That's not the way we normally refer to the ocean floor. Ha'aretz birichecha va'adi le'olam. Yet, a miracle happened. Vatal mishachas chayai. Hashem Elokai, you Hashem, you brought me up from the grave. You brought my life up from the grave. Who? You Hashem Elokai. Let's see this pasuk in the Mitzudos Tavit, pasuk Zayin. On the left side, page 427, on the bottom, Lekitzvei Harim, Leacharis Harim Shehatukuim Bayom, Vehu Karko Is Hayom. Here is a very unusual use of the word mountains. When you say a word mountain, you think it's dry, it's hot, it's there is no water. You're on top of the world, Mount Everest. No, there are mountains in the sea. I descended in the fish, according to what we learned last week, it was dead, and it sunk. It sunk to the lowest portions of the world. When I was in the stomach, the earth were bars. The earth locked me in. I will no longer return to the earth. My chances of ever coming up and stepping foot on dry land were zero. It's as if the dry land locked the door in front of my face and put a bar in front of the door to prevent me from entering. You know, today it's amazing, even the world security, the ultimate lock today, we're going back to ancient times, are bars. If you see some of these emergencies, now Rahman al-Sam, because they have over here all of these Meshugayim out there who are shooting. And they just installed in Chaim Berlin, they installed now all these public places because they're so scared of these what we call live shooters. I don't know the exact terminology we use. Active shooters in Shugayim. So there's a lockdown. So it used to be there's a lockdown. No, the alarm goes off. There's a lockdown. A fire alarm. You have to get out of the building. Okay, when I was a child, we had fire alarms every other day, right? You line up, you go to the corner, fire drills. Fire drills. Okay, everyone, put on your coat, go out into the street, blah, 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 fine. Today there's a new drill. Besides having a fire drill, there is a lockdown drill. Okay, it's a new Mishnah, Rachman, some of the crazy times, a new Mahalach now. There's a new drill, a certain type of alarm goes off, which means that there's someone in the building who is dangerous, who is roaming the hallways, and Rachman, he may have a weapon, and therefore it's not safe to walk out of the room. Lockdown, a different type of drill. So you lock the doors, and you, whatever you do, what are the techniques they have? So now that's even that, you know, that's not enough, and now they have to lock the door because the meshugana who's roaming the hall can open up the door. So we have locks, right? You have keys, you have locks. It's not good enough. Now they have these bars. It's very, very fascinating. These type of bars, different. It's like going back to the olden days where the briach, mamish a briach, where the ultimate way to keep the door shut is not to use a lock like you have on a regular door over here, because those things, you just shove it in and you can break the lock.
You can unlock, the lock and open it.
This is the bar, the fire.
That's also...
The Israeli apartments have the safe room there, you know, bomb shelters in the new apartment, and a lot of the apartments that build up, my sister's apartment is built up, there's one room in...
Chid Otum. By law, but that's also like, right. Made out of steel, filled with concrete.
Yeah.
Concrete.
Yeah.
But there's the ultimate way to lock a door is to use a bar, a boriach. We're going back to ancient times. Okay,
Mishkan.
What?
The Mishkan.
You put a bar across the door. And by putting a bar across the door, then no matter what you do, you can't break the door. The door cannot be opened. Much, much more effective than using the old-fashioned lock and key. Those things can be can be pried open. So here, that's exactly what it says. The Oretz. I am in the ocean. On the other side is the dry land. I am desperate to step foot upon the dry land. The dry land has said to me, "Sorry, buddy. You're not coming, you're not going to step on my soil. I'm locking you out, I'm shutting the door, and I'm putting a bar. Yonah, you're an active shooter. You're not allowed to enter on the dry land. I'm locking you out with a boriach. Ha'aretz b'richeha ba'adi le'olam. The earth has locked itself, has locked me out from entering upon it forever, and yet Hashem is Houdini. Hashem has done the impossible, has brought me to dry land. Pasuk goes on to say, "Vatal aval, but hoil v'kiyam tani kol hayamim halalu." He learns this as a prayer. Akaveh, I yearn, I hope Hashem, shetal chayai mishachas akerev hu abeten adoga, you Hashem will have rachmonis upon me, you will allow me to ascend to this earth. Okay, this is an amazing thing, this really, we've said it many times, there are a lot of hidden gems here in the tefillah of Yoina. Yoina, his words are very extreme. Gerushin, Hashem, you divorce me. Divorce means it's over, you're done. It's not going to happen. And here, he's saying, I'm in the bottom of the sea. I'm dead. I'm in a fish. The chances of me stepping foot on dry land are impossible. It's as if the door is shut with a bar. And yet, I still have hope. I still have hope that you, Hashem, can bring me back to dry land. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Zayin. Rashi goes into the next pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. When my neshama enveloped itself. Now, what is in behis ateif? It means I wrapped myself up. This is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Behis ateif in the Metzugos Siyoyin, he says, atifa ulevi. What? A matafa? So it means to envelop. What is an envelope? To envelop. So here, what does it mean? So the Mitsudo Sion says it's an expression which means I prayed. I put my thoughts in order. Let's see how he used the word talis. Look at Ra'an Mitsudas first. Mitsudas, Meloshan Atifa Ulavisha, Kikish Adam Hu Bitsar Hu Mu'une Vichofuf. He is afflicted and he's bent. He folds his body. People who are humbled, they are, I don't have a good word, they're in a state of hunger, they shut down. They fold themselves up. When a person When you're not using a garment, what do you do with it? You fold it up. You fold it up and you put it away in the drawer. So when a person is alive and well and healthy, he is spread out. When a person shuts down, it's a metaphor, he folds his...
Well, he assumes the fetal position.
So a fetal position, not right, your fetal position, you shut down. It's an expression that we're borrowing to refer to the person's mind. I fold up. I fold my actions, my she'ifos in life. I used to think I'm going to accomplish A, B, C, D. Now, let's shut down the system. I have shut down due to my neshama has shut down. And it's a depressing word. Now, on the other hand, bis'atef also means... Hey, that's really what it means. I've shut down. It also can mean, we're going off a little bit more of a homiletic approach. It means to pray. According to the Metzudos David so far, it just means when I was in a state of misery and my desire to succeed in life has been canceled, has been squashed. I have shut down from yearning to accomplish. Period. Another approach is behisatev comes from the word to put the talis on. Lis'atev batzitzis. Okay? It's the brach you make on a talis.
Yeah. Envelop yourself.
To envelop. The tzura of tefillah is wearing a talis. It says in the Medrash when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, Nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. Hashem put on a talis, enveloped himself in a talis as a Shliach Tzibur, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Chaim had a very unique minute. I know someone that never lived it down. this minute is that they when a person davens serves as the shaliach tzibur, he must wear a talis even for ma'ariv. And not only that, the minig there is the very makbid, the talis must cover your head. Okay, if you wear now in any other yeshiva, it's unheard of. You're a bocher. The minig Yisrael is that a bocher, a bar mitzvah boy, doesn't put the talis over his head. The only one that puts the talis over their head, you wear a hat. Okay, the yekas don't even when they're married, they don't put the talis over their head. They only the rabbi, only the rav. In the yekas shakihila, the only one who puts the talis over their head is the rabbi. Okay, only one that does. So everyone else wears a hat. Malcolm Homeline is a yekka. Everyone knows who Malcolm was. So I used to daven with him on Shabbos every so. He used to come to the Hashkama Minyan at the YI of Avenue J. He would come every so often, and he's a yakka. He wears his hat. He has talis, and he wears the hat. He never takes off the hat, and he never takes off the talis. That's the way the yakkas daven.
They even bring hats to the shul that you wear. You put on the hat.
You put the hat on.
They have hats.
You have to have it right. You wear. So the only one that covers their head with the talis is the rabbi. Vizehu, that is the minig. That is the minig not even the shliach tzibur. Only the rabbi. Now amongst us, that's obviously not. That's not our custom. You see, amongst the Bnei Torah, that they do what a bachor wears a hat, and when he gets married, then the minig is they cover you. You don't wear the hat anymore. So some they don't wear the hat and they don't cover their head either. They get the best of both worlds. And some they cover their head with the talis, depending when they'll cover first. Whatever they do, everyone each lefi min hagoy. By some chassidim, you should know they do both. I've seen chassidim. There are certain groups where they wear a strimal and they wear the talis over the strimal. You ever see that?
No,
I've seen that.
Damages.
Damage the strimal, too bad for the strimal. $6,000 strimal. So, most, not all that. Now they've come out.
Nine.
No, it's 89. $3,000, But they make ones you can get ready for $400. Want me to buy one?
You
want me to buy you one? I'll buy you one for $400. Truth is, you can go into Eichler's, you can get one that, to me, I can't tell the difference. You get one for $15. Synthetic. It looks the same to me. I can't tell the difference. Okay, but in any event, so the word list atif, where does it come from that a person should wrap himself in the talis when he prays? It comes from the Chazal that nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu betalis v'here l'moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Do you wear a talis at night? Definitely not. Who wears a talis? We paskin that tzitzis is only re'isim o'soid. There's no din wearing tzitzis at night. You wear tzitzis by day, not by night. Inam l'choyev. Yet, that's why by Ma'ariv, no one puts on a talis. Yet when you come to Slichos, the first night of Slichos, everyone knows, oh, the first night of Slichos, the Shliach Tzibur has to wear a talis. Oh, so does he make a bracha? Hoshayla, you have a bracha, make a talis, he'll take out his own talis from his talis zakel. So it's a shayla, does he wear, make a bracha on his own talis? Because is it at night, do you make a talis, not make a bracha? So every child, they teach them, you know, the beginning of the year, September, everyone's fresh, they teach them all the halachas, so every child remembers that when you go to Slichus, the first night, at 12 o'clock, and the Shliach Tzibur wants to take out his own private talis from his tefillin bag to put on the talis, he doesn't know he can't, because there's a whole shayla, do you make a bracha? So he has no choice but to borrow someone else's talis. Or to use the shul's talis.
No,
shul's talis not so posh, because me'ikir hadin, you really should make a brach on the shul's talis. But anyway, we don't. So what difference does it make? Anyway, we don't. The meaning is we don't make a brach on the shul's talis because we do for cover, not for a bracha. All right, fine. Wait a minute. This is a much more fundamental question. What is a shliach sim putting on a talis? What are you doing? What are you doing on a talis for? When you go to Ma'ariv on a regular night, the shliach sim in a regular shul, you put on a talis? What shul do you wear a talis for Ma'ariv? Now they start doing it now. But Mikar Hadin, what are you wearing your talis for? So what is the Shliach Tzibur wearing your talis when it comes to Slichas? The answer is, he's not putting on a talis because it's a Zman. It's because this is the Tzura of a Shliach Tzibur who says the Yud Gimel Midoy Sorachamim. When the Shliach Tzibur davens an ordinary Ma'ariv, he's not saying the Yud Gimel Midoy Sorachamim. So there's no need to wear a talis. But Slichos, he is reciting many times the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim. This is Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Nis'atev B'talis. So I don't know where this comes from. Maybe it's a minute from Slobodka. I'm assuming, because a lot of the things they do in Chaim Berlin are direct carryovers from what they did in Slobodka. I don't know for sure. But there, the minute is that every time you daven for the Amud, you daven, your Shliach Tzibur, you wear a talis. Even Ma'ariv. Now that's today, that's not a chiddush, because a lot of shuls already wear, a lot of Ashkenaz shuls, they wear a talis to Ma'ariv, but more, you have to put the talis, the minig there is to put the talis over your head in anything that you do. Now that's a chiddush, that's a chiddush to do that. And the reason why is because nis'atef means to put it over your head. L'his'atef b'tzitzis, you're wrapping, you're enveloping yourself. So this is the tzura of tefillah. A shliach tzibur has to be that matzav. So I know someone, probably 50 years ago, he went to Chaim Berlin to daven Ma'ariv. He had a yard site. He's not a Chaim Berliner in the least bit at all. And he learned there in the Koil for a short time, Chaim Berlin. And he went there to daven Ma'ariv. And they said to him, you have to take off your hat and put the talis over your head. And it bothered him very much. And he always reminds me, he still can't live it down, 50 years later, that they made him take off his hat and put the talis over his head, on top of his head, because that's their minhag. Where does it come from, that minhag? I don't know. I'm assuming Slobodka, because a lot of things that came from Slobodka, all from Slobodka. And It's rooted in this yesod of Hashem was misatev kishliach tzibur. Now, when you take that idea and you plug it into pasuk ches, Behisatef olai nafshi, when I prayed to you, Hashem, I enveloped my neshama in tefillah. Because I invoked the Yud Gimel Midois Horachamin. I said, Es Hashem Zochorti. I mentioned Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun. That's how the Yud Gimel Midos Horachamin begin, with the Shem Hashem. V'atavoy lecha tefilosi, and my prayer went forward, El Heichal Kodshecha, to your holy abode. So we have given over here so far two translations for the word Behis Atev. Either it means when I shut down, when I was depressed, when I recognized my life is over. System shut down. I pressed that icon to shut down, to log off, to shut down the system. Then I realized all hope is not yet lost. There's one more trick I have in my bag, and that is to be mispalel to Hashem. That's what the Mitzudas David says. Rashi says, maybe we'll see something a little bit, something along the lines like this. There's another pshat. Doesn't mean I'm depressed and I'm shutting down. I'm already past the depression state. I've already reached rock bottom. Now I'm in a new state. Now I am trying to rebuild my life. And the way I'm going to rebuild my life is through the koyach of tefillah. When I have made a deliberate decision to engage in the koyach of tefillah, what did I do as Hashem? Zochorti v'atav
lechav 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 lechav.
So let's...
Excuse me, according to Rashi, Beitatev is something else.
Okay, let's see. Let's first see the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Ches. When it comes to Rashi in one moment, very good. Mitzudas David, Pasuk Ches, on page 427. Beitatev, Kishahoye nafshi sho'olai me'utof ume'une. When I was depressed, when I was in a frame of mind of suffering, Zochardi es Hashem lehispalel lefonev anari mem. You know what? When you're in a matzah of tzara, that's what a Jew is supposed to do. He's supposed to pray. Finei boy lecha tefilosi lehechal kodshecha hu hashamayim. I pray to heaven. Hechal kodshecha is heaven in the mitzvah of David. Rashi. Now we come to Rav David. Rav David, what do you say in Rashi? Rashi, pasig, well, we have two psukim together. We've learned pasig zayin, pasig vav, Zayin and Ches. Rashi. Likitzve hodim yoradati. L'soif midas sehorim hakivuim al tehoim yoradati. Rashi says to the end of the edge of the mountains that are set al hatehoim yoradati. Also the same idea that there are mountains in the sea. The word mountains is not exclusive to dry land. There's something called in the yam. There are mountains. We know that as a fact.
Yeah.
But we're using this terminology here as well. Ani. I said about myself that the earth has locked me out. Lemala mimeni sogru. What is above me has been shut out. Veloy etse le'olam. I will never escape. Ba'adi kmo visogart hadeles ba'adech. It means opposite me. V'chein kol ba'ad shebemikra or ba'ad or. Aver kineged. Aver, it means, or means over there, it means, kineged means opposite. The earth has locked me out. It stands up, the bars of the door are opposite me, preventing me from entering. Le'oilam, the word musav al-masham al-mahalo, v'ani amarti nigrashti. Now, what's the word le'olam? Le'olam means over here that it's going back to the beginning of the previous pasuk. Le'olam means forever. It's never going to happen. I'm going to be able to return. I said about myself that this situation where the earth is preventing me from returning, where the earth has locked me out, will endure forever. There is no chance of me returning. Yet, v'atal mishachas chayai avol kvari isi kan. Gehenim umisham elisani. I have already seen Gehenim. I have ascended. V'hinli ato kineget tachas hechel shebi Yerushalayim kinyan shenemar Ach oisiv lahabid el heichal kod shachas. So he's learning the pshat and the pasuk very different than the mitzudos David. And he is saying that Yonah seemingly is reciting this prayer after he already witnessed salvation. This is a very big question we have to ask, a general question which is not so clear. When was this prayer said? When was it composed? Was this prayer composed when Yonah was in the dog, in the lower portion of the sea? Or was this prayer composed in hindsight? Yonah, now the whole story already finished. Yonah survives. Yonah goes to Nineveh. Yonah comes back home to Yerushalayim. He's a hero. Yonah resumes to live his life. And then every year, he makes a Sudas Hoidah. Every year, on the anniversary of May, you know when this happened? You have a yard site from when this happened over here? The yard site for the dog of Yonah. Mistama, the dog was a holy neshama. It says that after Yonah, after the dog swallowed Yonah, the dog died. So now, let's say Kaddish for the fish. Let's say Kaddish and bring Tikkun. Figure out when was the yard site of the dog and we'll make a Yoim no Tachnun. We'll give an announcement. Today is the yard site of the dog that swallowed Yoina. Tikkun! No Tachnun! It doesn't say in the FJJ when is the yard site of the dog. Okay, so... So is this, when did Yonah compose this tefillah? From Rashi, you get the sense again and again the tefillah was composed in hindsight.
Right.
Yonah survived. He returns back to Yerushalayim. He's a hero. He's a celebrity. He's making a sudas hoidah. He's saying kaddish for the dog. And on this day, when he reflects, he composes a tefillah based upon his experience. He says here, this is the way Rashi learns. That's another pshat.
Yeah, right.
Because according to Rashi, because you always have to take into consideration the end of these psukim. The end of the pasuk says, "Vatal mishachas chayai Hashem Elokai, v'satit nafshi el Hashem zocharti v'atovei lechle el heichal kodshecha." I have come. Here I am. I'm in Yerushalayim. I'm right in front of the heichal kodshecha. I'm looking at the gates of Yerushalayim. So Yonah obviously survived. He's here to tell about it. He is reflecting. This tefillah was composed after the story was over, reflecting what happened, using this as an inspiration for the future. But according to the Mitzudos, that's not what it says. According to the Mitzudos, when it says, L'heichal kodshecha, means shamayim. Right now, I'm in the fish. Right now, I'm... Who knows, 100 miles below sea level. Who knows where I am? Wherever I am, I'm on the depths of the ocean, wherever that may be. I'm really, really, it doesn't go so 100, whatever it goes, 2 miles down, 3 miles down, whatever it is, as far as you can go down. And I'm suffering. I'm hoping, I have tikva, that Hashem can still help me in this matzav. And therefore, I lift up my eyes now, el heichal kodshecha to shamayim. Very different. The mitzudos... Well, there's no question it was mispalel, right. But according to Rashi, we are not recording the exact words of his tefillah. What we have on record is a reflection of what has happened, and he now puts into words what happened relative to where he is now describing the salvation. Very different interpretation, and that's how Rashi obviously is learning. It's in hindsight, in retrospect.
It's interesting about that phrase, that you may have a God, not dog.
Dog.
Maybe he didn't pray when he got swallowed. If you say the pshat is that he got swallowed by one fish and then another fish, that's when he began to pray.
The second fish, the right. Second fish, correct. Okay, let's finish up Rashi.
Why should the dog to be dying? Why should the dog die?
We discussed that last week. It achieved its tachlis, its tafkit, its tafkit. When a creature achieves its purpose, we gave many examples. Gone, the Or Tachash, the Shamir stone. We had a whole number of examples. When something finishes its tafkit, then it goes next. Vatavoy elech of tefilosi elech al kachecha b'hisatef. Next words of Rashi, Be'ish tal hoyus. This is a the word of Tag, which basically is
in service by so minas and they will say mishallehe.
Weak, to be weak. That's a different word. Huh? That's the word oyef. It's a different word. That is a different word. That's a different word. The word over here is behisatef. Targum has this word beishtal hoyus. Ramachal, do you have a translation of the Judaica press? How it hides the word?
Yes, when my soul grew faint.
Faint. Oyef. Okay, but it's a different word. V'chein behisatef nafsham in eicha. V'chein be Otef olol, when the child is faint. So swoogin. So this is a different translation than the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos means to fold. A company, we use it in English. Okay, when a company goes out of business, they go bankrupt, we call it a fold. Fold means to shut down. That's a different connotation than fainting. When you faint, I'm not shutting down. Today's a bad day. Today, we were ordered by the government and they were not happy what they saw. Doesn't mean we're out of business. We'll be back tomorrow when we cook the books. Today, it's just a bad day. Okay, there's a different. According to the Mitsudos, the government shut us down. The CEO is in prison. It's over. Okay, the Mitsudos and Rashi are saying very different connotations. I was faint. I was weak. Mitsudos folded, shutting down. The other Jewish we had is, no, when I now entered into a state of atifa, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I began to pray. All right, we're out of time, so Yiras Hashem, tomorrow we will continue. We'll learn a little.